It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 19th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you're like me, you've been getting your World Cup fix with the help of Aereo. That's the company that rents users a tiny antenna so that they can stream live television content on their phone, tablet, or computer. Broadcasters say Aereo is illegally rebroadcasting their content. Aereo says it's just a substitute for your old-fashioned TV rabbit ears. So might SCOTUS be about to put Aereo out of business? Marketplace's Dan Gornstein reports.
The most important question in this case may be, what does Aereo do? The answer, for no more than $12 a month, the company gives subscribers a tiny antenna to stream and record broadcast TV. University of Washington law professor Zahra Saeed says it could just be seen as a creative and cheaper TV alternative.
Or is it actually functionally and effectively like a broadcasting company?
Whatever the court rules, the stakes are high, says Harvard professor Susan Crawford. If Aereo wins, the networks would lose billions.
So what really happens is that sports moves off broadcast and becomes something available only through your cable subscription.
If Aereo loses, Crawford says that raises a bunch of copyright questions about services somewhat similar to Aereo, services that store movies and music in the cloud, for example. She says, ultimately, Congress may have to get involved, meaning a long fight in Washington with a mosh pit of special interests battling it out. I'm Dan Gornstein for Marketplace.
Today, a film called 1971 will be screened in Washington, D.C. It's about a group of middle-class Philadelphia residents who broke into a Federal Bureau of Investigation office in Pennsylvania. The files they stole from that office and mailed to journalists exposed rampant FBI surveillance and led to the formation of the Congressional Church Committee. The film details how the activists practiced lockpicking and swore off home phones to stay anonymous. But decades later, some of their identities have been revealed. Two of them are Bonnie and John Raines. Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
Good to be here.
I think of you two. I think of Julian Assange. I think of Edward Snowden. Is there a common trait?
I think the common trait amongst all the folks you just mentioned is clarity and courage.
What about you, Bonnie?
Well, I would agree. I think that Edward Snowden, I like to joke that I think his parents raised him right because I think he was in a position to bring to the American public information that was probably going to remain secret for a very long time.
Did your behavior change with the way that you used the phone, the way that you conducted your lives during this procedure and after?
I remember that I would go to the payphone on the corner rather than use the phone in our house.
We were both smart and lucky in the sense that we escaped unindicted, undiscovered.
Do you think that could happen today?
No. If you took off your cell phone and left it somewhere, and then if I took off my hearing aids and threw them into the lake, I'd have to go completely non-electronic. And that's a tough thing to do. But we were very lucky in doing what we did at a time of relative primitivism in terms of technology of surveillance.
Bonnie, John, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace Tech is listener-supported, and twice a year, we invite you to make a gift to support the tech and business reporting you've come to rely on. A gift from you in any amount helps fuel a daily dose of tech news from Marketplace. Help us end the budget year strong by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th. All right, try to get your mom to understand how to download this email attachment. Smell-o-vision, or something like it. This week, a Harvard professor unveiled the latest machine to try and digitally encode smells. Reporter Tracy Samuelson takes a whiff.
So, are we ready?
Ready on your side?
Yeah, I think we are.
For decades, inventors have been trying to capitalize on the power of scent. The way smelling lilacs can immediately transport you to your mother's garden. Well, pine reminds you of that long past camping trip. This week, with great fanfare, Harvard professor David Edwards sent what he says is the first transcontinental scent message. That's scent as in smell.
Yes, we got it. Okay, so it's here.
Colleagues in France used a free app to send Edwards an email tagged with a handful of pre-encoded smells that were supposed to suggest champagne, cookies, and chocolate. The smells came out on a tabletop device called an O-phone, which has two mini smokestacks to release scented vapor and costs about $150. So, what I'm supposed to be smelling
is buttery, creamy, sour grilled bread.
I gotta say, I definitely smelled something, but it was tough to say what. It was a bit tangy. Edward says the technology is still a work in progress, and it's more than just email. He plans to use scents to sell.
It could be coffee, it could be wine, it could be chocolate, it could be a trip to the ocean.
Lisa Bodell is CEO of FutureThink, a consulting firm focused on innovation.
Well, so the idea is, how can you actually, as we get more virtual, how can we create more real experiences to get people to buy or relive something?
Bodell says this crazy idea could work. But for smell, execution has been a stumbling block in the past, like when a greeting card company tried scented cards.
Well, the problem wasn't getting it into the card. The problem was at the display. You know, there were so many scents competing for each other, it didn't work. So that's an example of an execution problem.
Smells are hard to control, hard to turn off. When they go bad, they go really bad, which means some kid is probably already dreaming about a new digital stink bomb. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Before we go today, yes, Amazon has released a smartphone, the Fire Phone. It does have a 3D image perspective feature that changes as you tilt it. It'll be on AT&T's network and cost $199. The question, whether the company can nudge its customers to pony up and buy. So far, the Amazon track record on that front is pretty good. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.